Well, let's try that again. Oh boy. I don't even know if this is going to work now. Mark Murphy out here barking. No doubt about it. Good morning, everybody. Sorry for the false start. Hopefully this will work. Move to the headset mic. Maybe you can hear me now without the cackling. Did you see Big B is now a Patreon? I convinced him just because the Zoom chats are so worth it. Well, Joey, that's very nice of you. Big B is Mark Murphy, so it's good to know that Mark Murphy will be joining us for our Zoom happy hours. Speaking of which, if you are a Patreon member, thank you. And we will be having our happy hour Wednesday at 6:30. Hope to see you guys and gals all there. Kevin, thanks, man. Get the dog a doggy door. Yeah, Antoine, don't start that nonsense. What you guys don't know is that my daughters are all here, and usually I'm doing this in an empty apartment, but they're all here, and Olive is literally sitting over here just in front of me, tip-tapping away on her computer with her headphones in, but watching me like a hawk and ready for any mention of a dog. Her, like, literally, I just said the mention of the dog, and her eyes, she was just like, so it's a good day to try and twist my arm for a dog, no doubt about it. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Dylan replaces Williams. His tape is savage. Oh God, don't get Big B going. Alex, Matt LaFleur has come so far with his pressers. He's so much more relaxed. There is zero question about it. He's still a little truncated, and you can tell he gets a little tongue-tied every once in a while, but yeah, 1,000,000,000% more relaxed and relatable and just ease kind of into it than he was, say, when he was introduced. No doubt about it. Yeah, Olive, you'll be happy to know. Get Olive a dog is the hashtag in the chat. So everyone's very excited for you. XFL is back, baby. Should have a team in Wisconsin. Yeah, well, you know, let's ramp it up first. Who knows? I mean, I saw that headline break right before we went live. The Rock has put in for the XFL. Now he's with, well, I love it. It's like The Rock is buying it for $15 million. No, The Rock is putting his name to it, but it's like, you know, him and several partners, and, you know, a financial firm that is the one actually putting up the financing. But he is in, and he will be the figurehead, and I am interested to see what he does with it. As for a team in Wisconsin, man, I'm all for it, but one step at a time. Nicholas, thanks for the super chat. Does Funches still get to keep a playbook tablet? I would tend to doubt it. It's much, from my understanding, is when you opt out, it is much like not going on a reserve list in the sense, the commissioner's exempt list in the sense that you're in trouble, but you are kind of quote unquote cut off. Now, maybe not. I don't know the exact fine points of it, but I would suspect no. As the current roster goes, do you think our run defense is better or still sucky? I would suspect on the still sucky side, but hopefully maybe the addition of Trayvon Hester, who knows how long he's out on the COVID list right now, but and then the maturation and development of Kingsley Keke, etc., maybe that plays a role in bringing them on to the better side of the ledger. But yeah, I don't see a dramatic change there. I think the largest change has to come from Mike Pettine. I have no idea if he will be willing to do so. But, yeah, for the most part, I think it's going to be pretty similar to what we saw last year. Oh, Super Edge 99 asking the question of the day. Thanks to the Super Chat. Excited about Tippa pass rushing. Can he stick? I think so if he's given the opportunity. Now, his tape is fun. You get really excited. You guys have heard me talk about him. I think he's got a real shot if he's given reps. Now, got to earn those reps. Got to make something happen each and every day in practice. And most importantly, he has got to absolutely shine on special teams. And if he can do that, then he's got a shot. But, you know, given how precious little practice time they have, how truncated time on the field will be with pads, etc., man, the odds are long. But I really hope so. I really do hope so. How quickly could you see Dylan in short yardage situations over Williams? I don't think it'll be as kind of clear cut as that. I do think he could help them in that regard and possibly take over some of those duties, but I don't think they're ever going to be as pigeonholed as that. You know, once you start specializing to that degree, it becomes real easy for defensive coordinators and defensive callers on the field. I think you will see him kind of rotated in and out. But again, I've said this kind of since he was drafted, he's got to prove himself in the passing game, both being able to catch the ball and hold up in pass protection, or else he's not going to be on the field whatsoever. And yeah, you could say, okay, it's third and short, put him in there. And maybe he's a decoy, maybe he's going to get it, etc. But, you know, I don't ever think the problem has been Jamal can't get the tough yards. If anything, the exact opposite is true. I think for the most part, in most short yardage situations where they failed on the ground, it's been because they're not stout up front. They're much more of a zone stretch team. We all know that. They're not road graders. They're not guys who are going to fire off the ball and create 1 or 2 yards of, you know, a bubble for the back to get into. It's just not the nature of their offense and not the nature of their personnel. So is there a possibility that Dylan sees some of those snaps this year? Absolutely, 100%. We all know what kind of build he has, what kind of back he should be. But I don't think it'll ever be that delineated. I think LaFleur wants to keep things as versatile as possible with all his personnel. How's Uncle Banky been? I believe he's leaving for Milwaukee today. So he'll be traveling, and then he'll be in Wisconsin for the next kind of month or so. But he's good. Guy's great. Running live X like a champ, man. Guy's a legend. Is EQ our slot receiver? Not necessarily, Alex. Again, same thing I was talking about with the running backs. I don't think it's going to be pigeonholed like that. If anything, I think Davante Adams is your slot receiver to start. They're going to use Davante all over the map, like they did last year. I think EQ can do it. We saw him do it his rookie year. That was in a very different system. We'll see how they utilize him. But I don't think anything in this offense is ever going to be as delineated as that. I mean, that's a very staid, old-world, West Coast way of thinking. Hell, it's not even a Madden way of thinking or a fantasy way of thinking. It's not this offense. It's way more multiple than that. How do you feel about the right tackle position? Is that a place of concern? That is a really good question. I tell you what, Brian Gutekunst name-checking Alex Light and not even mentioning Rick Wagner yesterday, man, that haunted me all day. Now, I know he was just name-checking guys who could compete probably for a backup spot because I suspect he is thinking Rick Wagner is the starter. But, you know, he talked about Alex Light. He talked about Josh Noman, who I'm really excited to see on the field. And he talked about the possibility of kicking over Billy Turner. Is it a place of concern? I mean, in so much that, yeah, it's going to be a downgrade from Brian Bulaga, no matter who you put out there. But that was going to be the case regardless. You know, that's life in the NFL. You can't have all pros at every position. At some point, you can't pay everybody. They decided to let Brian walk, and now they're going to have to figure out what to do there. All of that said, I do think they've got enough talent to operate on offense without problems. You know, yeah, guys are going to get beat, and Aaron's going to have to make some stuff happen with his legs and with his maneuverability in the pocket. But for the most part, they should be okay. I do think Rick Wagner will be the starter, and I think he'll hold up all right. But again, it's going to be a noticeable dip from Brian Bulaga because 95% of the people in the NFL you'd put in that position would be a step back from Brian Bulaga. That's just facts. When does the team actually start practicing? Well, Steven, they've actually started walkthroughs, but they won't be doing anything collectively on the field. Probably, well, they'll be throwing and doing walkthroughs and things like that in the split squad setup that they have where they have rookies and guys who were injured last year and then veterans. They'll mix and match kind of what they can do as far as given the limitations that the new CBA allows them. But as far as being on the field, actually running plays, probably not for another 10 days. The first day of pads is either the 16th or 17th. That's when I'm going to get in town. I'll be there when the pads come on, and then I'll be there for 2 weeks to watch those practices. So that's as close as we're going to get to actual practicing. And obviously, it's all going to be very different. LaFleur mentioned yesterday about they are looking at and probably plan to have a few scrimmage-type practices inside Lambeau Field. I really hope that happens while I'm there because that would be fascinating. But, yeah, nothing resembling football is going to take place for a week yet. And then even then, it'll be much like the off-season would be, OTAs, helmets and shorts, basically, before the pads come on the 16th. Did you get credentials? Okay, let me just put this out there. All right. So it's this ongoing kind of joke I have with Jason Waller, the head of communications with the Packers. Cheesehead TV has not been officially credentialed for the 2020 season. I suspect we might be this year. However, even if we're not, even if they make us jump through these ridiculous hoops, I still get credentialed through iHeartRadio. So, you know, and then I still produce tons of content for Cheesehead TV with those credentials. So it's not like they're keeping me out. You know, I do just like to rib Jason about it every chance I get, as I did this weekend when I pointed out that Mark Murphy himself literally asked me about Cheesehead TV on the media call during the shareholders availability. So it's clear that the president and CEO is reading Cheesehead TV. And we can't get credentials. Ah. Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Oh, had to get one out just for old time's sake, huh? I hear you, Big B. Isaiah, thanks for the super chat. How much of a change will Kingsley bring to the D, and will it be better or worse than last year? That's a million-dollar question there, that second part. I think it will be slightly better overall. I think the pass rush numbers could actually maybe take a step back if they are going to try to, you know, mitigate things as far as stopping the run, trying to, you know, fix that, band-aid that. But I still think they'll be effective against the pass. They certainly were last year. They've got to, as good as they were in the red zone, they have got to limit explosive plays. That really killed them. I mean, everyone has this offseason. I mean, it's been a drumbeat of how they have to fix a run defense. But what's not being talked about, or what I haven't heard talked about a whole lot, is how many explosive plays they gave up. Especially there was one kind of 2 month period where they were just giving up 20 plus yards through the air each and every week, at least multiple times. That cannot stand, especially for a team that plays more dime than anybody else in the league. You would think you would be able to limit that. So I do think they'll be a better overall unit. Kiki has got to be a major component to their improvement, not only against the run, but up front in general. I mean, Kenny Clark desperately needs a running mate, and hopefully Kingsley can provide that. Big B, I will get your credentials. Thanks, Mark. That's very nice of you. Murphy and company leverage too much into title town development. Man, tough to fill with tenants. Well, I mean, did they? No. I mean, no one. Come on. You're going to say they did too much, putting too much into title town, and now a pandemic has hit? I mean, come on. They didn't see. No one saw this coming. As far as, like, the title town and putting so, quote-unquote, so much into it, if anything, that's going to help save their bacon. I mean, they've still got stuff that's open. People are still spending money. Hinterland is open. Lodge Kohler is open. You know, the places are drawing a crowd now where, you know, if those things weren't there, it would be really dire. So, you know, and that's, again, that's all money that they get to keep. This is the stuff they don't have to share. They've got the reserve fund. I think it was really smart of Murphy to go all in on Titletown. Zachary, ooh, what a question. Over under, Rodgers is a Packer 2 years. Give me the under. Just. I think he'll complete 2 seasons, and then he'll be done. How's that? I want to create a John Lovett fan page. Well, let's, A, get him through the system. As Gutekunst said yesterday, he still has to take a physical and all that. Still has to do the COVID testing. And then he's got to get on the field and do something. So maybe wait and see if he makes the roster first. That's just my recommendation, but you go hog wild, man. Do what you got to do. Do you think it's an inevitability that star players miss games with COVID? I don't think it's an inevitability. I think there will be positive tests. We've seen it across the league. You know, the latest most high profile person is obviously Doug Peterson there in Philadelphia. But I don't think it's inevitable. I do think guys will miss games. They're on the COVID list. And don't forget, just because you're on the COVID list doesn't mean you've got the virus. It can also mean you have been exposed to it via or been in close proximity to someone who has been tested positive. So, you know, I do think it's inevitable there will be cases and players will be placed on the list, etc. But star players, like, do I think it's inevitable that Aaron Rodgers misses a game or inevitable that, I don't know, Tom Brady misses a game? I don't think it's inevitable, but I do think there will be guys who miss time because of being on that list. No doubt about it. Thought Gutekunst's monologue on trusting players outside the building and how the team managed the positive tests was fire. I mean, I agree, obviously. I posted it on Twitter this morning. I mean, that's a man walking an impossible tightrope. You know, talk about knowing that you've got to go to work and do your job and try to win football games, etc., all within the environment that everywhere you turn suggests that you should not be doing your job right now. There's no way the NFL should be playing, but of course they're going to play because there's way too much money at stake. That's the simple fact. No one ever wants to talk about it. I mean, we all know it inherently, but that's the truth. So within that framework, guys are going to, and I said this on Twitter yesterday or Saturday, you know, coaches are going to frame this, and Murphy has, Gutekunst has, and LaFleur kind of did. They're going to frame it as this is another area to compete. That's all it is. When you leave the facility, you are competing with everyone else across the league. What are you going to do? Are you going to go home? Are you going to self-quarantine? Or are you going to go out and expose yourself to possible risks? That's it. That's what the football players, the teams, that's what they're going to have to do. And it's absolute madness, but that's the reality that we're living through. Sucks, but that's it. Nagler, Belaga is getting paid $10 million a season, yet we gave Turner a $7 million season contract. Why? Throw in Patrick's contract and we can basically have Belaga for the same amount. Yeah, but is Belaga going to play 16 games? He didn't last year. Is Belaga going to hold up? He didn't last year. You're moving forward. You're projecting forward. It's a third contract for Belaga. But Billy Turner, it was his second contract. There's a major difference there. And Brian Belaga can't play guard. Billy Turner can. Billy Turner can kick out to tackle. Belaga can't kick in to guard. I mean, I understand it. He's a really good fucking player. But it's a big puzzle. And you're trying to make pieces work. One of the reasons Billy got paid is his versatility, you know, and his youth and his availability. There are many levels to it. It's not Madden. You don't just push someone in and go, oh, $10 million, right tackle, perfect, great, go. It's not how it works. Look, we all miss Brian Belaga, Iowa. There's no question about it. The Packers will miss him on the field, no question. But there's way more to it than just comparing contract numbers. It's that simple. 10-game season, 3 versus your division in a bubble, 4 versus different division in a bubble, 3 your division in a bubble, boom, solved. Jimmy, that's hilarious. Okay, where do guys get train? Where do they work out? Where do they get treatment? If they're injured, what happened? Where are their families? How many people? You are literally talking. You talk about putting them in a bubble. You are literally talking about hundreds and hundreds of people. This isn't the NBA. Any bubble talk with the NFL is nonsense. It's just ridiculous. It's never going to happen. It will never work. Wisconsin sports fan, how are you, buddy? Lane Taylor at tackle. I don't think he would get a look at tackle unless there was an emergency, much like there was years ago on that Thursday night game where he played left tackle and played pretty damn well, I might say. I do think, and this was my question to Matt yesterday, you know, I asked, is he going to get a chance to compete for a job? Because he obviously lost his job due to injury. Now, we all know Elton would probably have taken that job eventually anyway, but will he be given a chance to compete? And Matt made it pretty clear there will be a competition, and you got to think that right guard spot is going to be a big kind of focal point. So I do think he'll get a shot at guard. I'd be very surprised if they tried him at tackle, although they could. I think it's much more likely Billy gets run at tackle along with Alex Light and Rick Wagner while he's fighting for his job with Lane at right guard. That's my hunch anyway. I see this sometimes, and you people are crazy. Dak leaves. Rodgers ends up on the Cowboys for McCarthy reunion. Rodgers would rather sear the flesh from his bones than go play for Mike McCarthy. Why do you think Mike is no longer in Green Bay? Because Aaron didn't want him there. Come on, people. How confident are you if Lucas Patrick's had to start a few games? Very confident. Center or guard. Anywhere along the interior. I'm down with Lucas Patrick, man. I love him. I think he's a step down from Corey Linsley overall. you can definitely get through a couple games with him. No doubt about it. You go back and watch that Cowboys game after Lindsley left with a concussion. Other than an errant snaps, you can barely tell there's, you know, the difference. And again, I think Corey Lindsley's a much better player, but yeah, you could definitely get through some games with him. I'd be very confident. And I think that's a big reason why they signed him to that 2-year extension. You know, they saw what he can do. He's really improved. I mean, really improved. And hopefully that's going to continue. I still think Sapp should have been taken out for his crap on Clifton. Okay, Matt, I don't know where this is coming from, but I 1,000,000,000% agree. One of the cheapest shots I've ever seen on a football field. And let me tell you, everyone can say whatever they want about Mike Sherman as a GM or even as a coach, but Mike Sherman was the fucking man that day when he stood up to Warren Sapp after the game. The forever gold in my eyes for doing that. You talk about having your players back. He called Sapp out when a lot of people wouldn't. Sherman went right up and did. I love that. Do you think with Lovett in the mix, Big Bob T may be a cut candidate? I don't think it's directly correlated. I do think they're going to be competing. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But I've seen this a lot about, you know, Big Bob possibly being cut. And sure, yeah, every guy's on the precipice of being cut, except for maybe Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, I think Tanya's really talented. And I think he could offer something to this team if, you know, given the chance. Don't forget, he was tight end 2 last year for a lot of camp. Obviously, they didn't utilize him a whole lot last year, and then he got hurt. But that doesn't mean he's not talented and can't contribute. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they divvy up those reps, so to speak, in whatever fashion they can during this truncated version of camp. But, hey, again, as I said earlier, you know, Lovett's still got to pass a physical and get through COVID testing and all that nonsense. So let's slow the roll before we start cutting guys for him. Mike Sherman wanted to kick his ass. Yes, yes, he did. All right, guys, I'm going to have to go. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out. I'm sorry about the false start with the audio problems earlier. Olive says hello. Thanks for her support for a dog. Never going to happen. But I can't thank you guys enough for making Cheesehead TV part of your Packers routine. I'll be back. I will definitely have an extra cheese tonight, later this evening, after we hear from Kenny Clark and Aaron Rodgers. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.